Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Hello, my class, and welcome to this week's James Rice Show. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. I am a little bit late at getting this podcast out to you because, well, we were waiting for the results of the Brazil versus Mexico World Cup match. And adios, Mexico. My Mexican friends, that was a tough loss because you guys, you know, Mexico, you started very, very well. You guys, you know, in that first 20 minutes or so, you guys worked really hard and, you know, you guys look good. But, you know, Brazil's Brazil, you know, that very tough. And James the Octopus here, sadly, has picked Brazil to win the World Cup, and Brazil's streak continues. Only one goal in this World Cup so far that's been scored on Brazil. They look amazing. Yeah, James the Octopus. Do you guys remember the octopus that was predicting the World Cup? I think he got like all the winners. That's what I am. I'm telling you, James the Octopus. And, you know, my team, England, is still in there. So I am making a big prediction here, James the Octopus, that it is going to be Brazil versus England in the finals. There, yes, I said it, and I'm here to represent it. Brazil versus England in the World Cup finals. So I wanted to stay on. You know, there's so many upsets in this World Cup. I thought maybe, you know, maybe Mexico might upset Brazil the way Russia did with Spain. I mean, wow, that was a crazy game. And but no, Brazil is Brazil. And congratulations to my Brazilian friends. You guys look amazing out there and in the World Cup. So I am watching it and I'm enjoying this World Cup. It's been very, very exciting. Although, you know, some of the games now are getting a little more defensive as they're getting closer to the finals. So, but it's been exciting with a lot of new teams and new countries coming along and moving up in the ranks, I guess. So Brazil versus England. Over here in Canada, the Great White North, we have a heat wave going on. Man, it is hot here. It's crazy hot. And so we're going to talk a little bit later about hot weather idioms. Hot weather idioms. Yeah, so we're going to talk about idioms when we're hot, because it's hot, and I can't stop thinking about how hot it is in Canada. Don't forget, guys, on the Instagram account, Connect with James, that's my Instagram account, where you can see posts about what's coming up on the James Rice Show, as well as other interesting things that we post on there. I have been selected to have an Instagram TV channel. So I am posting some fun stuff right now up there on my Instagram TV channel. So you can check that out when you guys get a chance. That's Connect with James. That's the Instagram handle, my Instagram handle, Connect with James. So check it out. And I'm not sure what you're supposed to do with it other than just watch it, I guess, and enjoy. You know, Instagram has banned. Last week we did my trip to North Korea and talking about that. But Instagram banned my North Korean photo I used to promote the show. I put it out there and Instagram like said, no, that's a political ad. And I'm like, what? What are you guys talking about? It was just a photo of me with a Korean soldier in the DMZ. There was nothing political about it, and my topic is not political. I'm talking about ESL and studying English and traveling, and nope, it was political. So we had quite a battle. But anyways, it's up there again. But I mean, you know, I get that's part of this election, and you know, with Trump and all that stuff. So yikes! This week we're going to talk about how Trump can help you improve your English. What? Yeah. So I wonder what Instagram is going to say about that. We're going to be listening to a linguist from Georgetown University who is going to describe Trump's speaking style. Yeah. And you know what? It is quite fascinating. It's quite fascinating. She does a really, really good job. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. All right, top countries for this week. Brazil. Brazil remains number one. And that's why you guys keep winning, Brazil, because you guys are supporting the James Rice Show so much. And I appreciate that. And as long as you're number one on the James Rice Show, you're going to be number one in the World Cup. I'm telling you right now. Japan comes in at number two. Canada, three. Vietnam. Hello, my Vietnam friends. You guys have moved up to number four listeners on the James Rice Show. And China. China. That's my Trump impression. China makes its first appearance in the top five as our number five. Ni hao, my Chinese friends. Thank you for listening to the James Rice Show. Don't forget, we also have the YouTube channel where you can get free English lessons. This week, when you subscribe, you guys got to subscribe. You're watching, but you got to subscribe. This week, we discussed how to pronounce the S sound with the simple present tense. So check that out for a little pronunciation tip. You can check out the YouTube channel through the James Rice Show website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. And you can see a lot of those materials there as well. Also on the website, thejamesriceshow.com, don't forget the. It's article practice, okay? You got to learn the article. The James Rice Show. We have our episode pages, and you'll have some different background topics that we've discussed, background information that we discussed on this show. So we're going to have the full video of our linguist on that page as well. So it's really cool, really cool. All right, coming up next, idiom of the week and hot weather idioms.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
All right, so it is super hot here in Canada. Very, very hot, and it's going to be hot all week long. And therefore, we are going to study hot weather idioms. Yes, and boy, it's hot in Canada. You know, it's like 38 degrees. I am dying. Yeah, so, all right. So we're going to talk about some general words that discuss hot weather. We often use the word muggy. Muggy. It's muggy outside. And that means a lot of humidity. So it's very humid. And, you know, you feel kind of wet and you're sweating. There's water coming, you know, all over your body. Blech! It's terrible. So it's muggy outside. All right. And right now in Canada, it is. It's muggy. It's that humid feeling. And it feels very muggy. I don't like that. I do not like that weather. Another one is it's a scorcher. It's a scorcher outside. So scorcher means very, very hot. Very, very hot. It's kind of like a flame makes a scorch in the air. So scorcher. It's another one. It's sweltering. Sorry, pardon me. It's sweltering. Ring, not ling, but ring. I get my L and R confused. I have an L and R story. I got to tell you that. It's sweltering. Sweltering outside. All right, so that means it's very, very hot. Again, all these mean it's very, very hot. All right. Another expression, it's like an oven. It's like an oven outside. Yeah, so you know how the oven in, you know, gets hot in the kitchen, right? I mean, that's what it feels like in Canada right now. Ah, us Canadians, we are not used to this hot weather. All right, so now this expression kind of describes your feelings, okay? So what you're feeling and when it's hot outside. And we say something like, I'm melting! Ah, I'm melting! So melting is like, you know, when you take an ice cube out or you take something cold like ice cream outside, it melts. The ice cube turns into water. The ice cream turns into water. So for Canadians, we turn into water. Yes, because we are kind of frozen snowmen up here in Canada. So when it's 38 degrees and feeling like 42 degrees, I'm melting. All right, that's one. Or I'm sweating like a pig. I'm sweating like a pig. And I'm not sure where that came from. Why do pigs sweat a lot? I guess maybe they do. That's why they roll around in the mud all the time. So, you're sweating a lot anyways. You're sweating like a pig and you're kind of, you know, feeling, oh, I'm so hot. And maybe you sound like a pig. Maybe that's where the expression came from. So you're sweating a lot. You're sweating a lot. So I am sweating like a pig. All right. So those are some important hot weather expressions that you can use. I know some of you guys are like in Brazil and Mexico and Saudi Arabia and Africa, and you guys are in some hot places. So remember me in Canada, where I am sweating like a pig because it is sweltering outside and it is an oven out there. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Okay, students, it's time for your English tip of the week.
We don't win anymore. We don't win at trade.
Great country, great people.
You're going to be very happy.
Believe me.
The incredible men and women.
We're going to start winning again. Believe me.
I'm not ranting and raving. Go ahead.
He is interesting to me linguistically because he speaks like everybody else. And we're not used to hearing that from a president.
That was Jennifer Sclafani. She is a linguist at Georgetown University, and she has been spending the last 2 years studying how Donald Trump speaks. Now, I have to confess, when I saw this, it's on YouTube, and we're going to put it onto our website as well, www.thejamesriceshow.com, where you can watch the entire video. I'm taking some clips from it for our discussion here, but I have to admit, when I saw it, I was really excited to watch it because I have been very interested in watching the speaking styles of various presidents. And since Clinton, it's kind of been a hobby of mine listening to how these different politicians speak. And maybe because I was born and raised in kind of the Ronald Reagan era, Reagan was a master at using his voice. But I think I really kind of started studying it and looking at it when Clinton came in, because Bill Clinton had such a way to speak that he would almost be crying. You know, he would talk about something, you know, I saw that little girl walking down the street with the flower in the sunshine. And, you know, he sounds like he's going to cry. He's going to cry any minute. And people would feel so much emotion in the way he spoke. And he was really, really good at it. I mean, obviously, he became the president of the United States. So, and then after Clinton, we had George Bush, who really... You know, he was not one of the better speakers, and he tried to be kind of Texan, but you know, I was teaching English and I often used George Bush-isms. And if you want to hear a Bush-ism, there are many, many, many mistakes that you made with idioms and expressions. It's just funny to listen to. And then after that, of course, we had Obama, you know, and Obama was and is, remains, Obama remains very, very elegant with his speaking style. And, you know, he's probably the best speaker out of all of them, maybe since Reagan, maybe since JFK, where he spoke with such elegance, like, you know, like a fine wine or like an expensive watch. You know, he was at the top of the speaking.
Don't forget
game.
To follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Speaker. And obviously, you have to. So have to be at that level. But here we have Donald Trump, you know, who... you know, came out of nowhere, obviously, to win the election, but his speaking style is very, very, very different. And as Jennifer said in that first clip, you know, we've never had a politician speak like Trump. And it's interesting. And why is he so popular? And why is his speaking style so different? And what can we learn from that? So let's take another listen, Stephanie, at the next clip from Jennifer talking about Trump's style.
We're used to hearing somebody speak who sounds much more educated, much smarter, much more refined than your everyday American. But when we hear Donald Trump speaks, he sounds like he could be a family member or a friend. And he's unique in that sense.
So the first thing that Jennifer talks about is that Trump kind of sounds like your crazy uncle in the corner, right? You know, he's that guy, he's the guy in the family that speaks up and shares his opinion. And usually it's an uncle or a cousin or something like that. You have, I'm sure you have some in your family who really tells it like it is, who says their opinions directly without any worry about anyone's emotions or feelings. So, you know, that's Trump. Definitely he sounds like that. I mean, you've sat around at Christmas time or something like that, where somebody in your family is very, very direct. All right, clip 16 there, Stephanie.
Don't forget, that's the way I won. Remember, I used to give you a news conference every time I made a speech, which was like every day. Okay. No, that's how I won. I won with news conference and probably speeches.
Many people comment on the simplicity of his vocabulary or the lower register of his language, as well as the simpler grammar of his sentences or syntax.
All right. Now, this is a very, very important point. And I think this is critical to understanding Trump, but also to help you at ESL students out there and teachers to help you improve your speaking. Number one, Trump speaks usually in the present tense, the past tense, or the future tense. Okay? He uses those three tenses, simple, past, and present. He does not go into, you know, past perfect and present perfect and future perfect and the continuous and then all of those different tenses. He keeps the grammar very simple, you know, simple present, I win, I won, past, and I will win in the future. Even his slogan, Make America Great Again, is, you know, your simple present tense. Nothing too complicated. So when you're studying English, and especially when you're studying English conversation, you don't want to get too elegant or flowery with your language, unless you're giving, you know, perhaps a presidential speech. But to make your point, you should use those three tenses, and you can react quickly, and you sound confident, okay? And it's easy for people to understand. And likewise, you know, teachers in conversation class specifically, trying to get students to sound more direct, with their feelings, you know, focus on those three tenses. I often say that the present perfect tense often starts a conversation. So you start with, have you ever been to Australia? Oh, yes, I have. I went there. I saw this. I ate this. I visited this. All very simple, direct sentences. And in conversation, that's what you want to do. And that's how you can be a better conversationalist, someone who is better at speaking English than worrying about your grammar and which grammar you need to use in which situations. In conversation, three tenses: the simple present tense, the past simple, and the future. And that is how Donald Trump won the election, or one of the reasons why Donald Trump won the election. He kept it very simple English. All right, next clip, Stephanie. Let's listen to 15, I guess.
Something else that many people have commented on is this: the fact that he tends to jump from topic to topic rather abruptly in his speeches.
And this is another good point for students who want to study conversational English. Trump jumps around in his speeches, and it really makes, you know, the media type and the, you know, the political class, those elite political people, it makes them upset because he'll jump from one topic to another topic, then back to that topic, and then off to the next topic, and he's kind of all over the place, and that's kind of where they feel he's a bit crazy. But naturally, in conversation, that's the way we speak. We jump from one topic to the other, and students of ESL kind of get worried about that concept, that when they meet a native speaker, they speak quickly and they jump from topic to topic. They change the topic suddenly and without notice. And teachers, we need to realize that this is natural in conversation, that we need to allow students to stretch out the conversation. Just because the theme is about childhood and we're talking about, you know, your childhood and what you did in the past, it may jump into some other topics. And that's okay, teachers. And that's okay, students. It's okay to jump around in your conversation because that's just the natural way that we speak. And that's why Trump has been popular in his rallies and in his speeches. And one reason why he's been entertaining in those speeches is because he has jumped around and spoken in that conversational way. And it doesn't follow a clear kind of path. And so as a speech, it seems much more interesting. But maybe as a president, it's not as clear. But as a conversationalist, it's a much more dynamic conversation when you can flow from different topics back and forth. Maybe not great for policy and government policy, but good for conversation. And that's the lesson that maybe you can learn when you watch Trump, is how he moves around in the conversation and he changes topics and slips from one topic to the other. And that is natural conversation techniques, and he's very good at it. All right, Stephanie, let's take a look at clip 18.
One of the things that I've noticed he does a lot is he uses the expression,
believe me. Believe me, believe me, believe me, believe me, believe me.
If you look at where Donald Trump uses believe me, he'll use it to preface an important point that he wants to make.
And believe me, I and we inherited one big mess. That I can tell you.
And he also uses it at the end of an important point that he makes in a speech.
And I'm also here to tell you about our plans for the future, and they're big and they're bold, and it's what our country is all about, believe me.
So it functions as a verbal bracket surrounding points that he really wants listeners to pay attention to. And so this can be a very useful device in reining your audience in when you have a very long speech to focus on the important points you want them to take away.
Jennifer's really good. She's fantastic, isn't she? She's really wonderful at explaining Trump's style. So what she's saying here is that Trump speechwriters and Trump people around Trump have realized that his speech can be a bit rambling or jump from topic to topic. So they need him to kind of hit certain points. These are notes, perhaps bullet notes, that are really, really important to his speech or to his presentation. And so they have created this kind of phrase, believe me, around those important points that he must kind of hit in his speech. So I think that's kind of interesting. I think it's an outside thing that's probably only important for Trump, but something perhaps you can listen to. Okay, let's listen to the next clip, Stephanie. 21, please.
I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created, and I mean that.
Hyperbole is definitely part of the Trump brand of president. He uses words that are both hyperbolic in the positive sense, especially now as president, like great and spectacular.
I think we have one of the great cabinets ever put together.
I think we're going to do some absolutely spectacular things for the American people.
All right, so this is definitely Trumpism, where he uses the superlative form. The greatest, the best, the most spectacular, the biggest. And this is something that many people in the media criticize Trump, and they talk about him trying to be a dictator. And I do have to disagree on this point, because I have seen and watched Donald Trump speak for many years now. I mean, he's not a new character on the scene. He's been doing this for over 30 years, and he's always spoken this way. And if you read his books, he's written this way. It's the greatest. It's the best. He is almost super positive in the way he speaks and the way he chooses his adjectives, and he doesn't play with small adjectives. They're big, and as she says, it's part of his brand of who he is, but essentially that he is using this speaking style in a way that he's always used it. And he's always used superlatives, the superlative form. So it's for teachers, it's a great lesson out there to pull out some Trump clips to see how the superlative is being used in the sentence, because he's always using that. All right, let's move on. Next clip. I think we're almost coming to the end. Next clip, Stephanie. What do you want to play? Yeah, I want to get to that clip. 14. Yeah, 14, Stephanie.
I think what Donald Trump teaches us about linguistics is that you can use language to create a brand. You can use language to construct an identity that is distinct, that is recognizable, and that works toward creating an authentic persona that people will pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly. And Trump has been doing this for many, many years. She used the word persona. And that means it's not his real personality. It's not his real character that we're seeing. We're seeing an image that he is projecting out into the public. It is his persona. And, you know, people may criticize that, but everybody in Hollywood and politics, they have a persona that they want to share with the people. You know, Obama's persona is one of elegance, education, refined character. But in reality, Obama was a street fighter from Chicago. He's a tough guy, and you don't want to cross Obama. He was and is a tough man, And you don't get to become the first ever black president by being a nice guy. You become the first black president by being tough, and he's tough. And, you know, in his speeches, though, he doesn't come across a way. And, of course, Trump comes across much, much differently. He has this brand. And I think the other thing that maybe Jennifer didn't cover was kind of this New York attitude that Trump has. And it's very much in part of his persona, so part of this character that he's creating, where he's a tough guy. He speaks in that New York tough guy style, you know, where when you go to New York, you'll hear some of those characters and you'll meet some of them, sometimes in the taxi cab, the taxi drivers. They're tough guys, tough characters. And he kind of portrays himself in that light. And perhaps it has come from his work in New York and having to deal with some tough characters. But his persona and his speaking style is very, very direct. And when I was in New York, I found people in New York were very direct. The salespeople, the food people, you know, what do you want? What can I get you? What do you need? It's not, there's no please or thank yous. It's like, hurry up. I got 10 million people waiting behind you. Move it or get out of the way. And I think, there's some YouTube videos about, New Yorkers following slow walkers. So people who walk slow, and then they videotaped New Yorkers behind these slow walkers, usually tourists who are there visiting. You know, you can see they're so upset at these slow walkers. Everything moves quickly in New York. You move fast or you die. All right. You choose or you die. I mean, I remember the very first day I was just getting a cup of coffee and I didn't know what to order. It was my first time in the shop. It was a nice little New York kind of deli. And I didn't know what to order. I wasn't sure what I should get. There was a lot of things on the menu. And, you know, there were people behind me, and they were not happy with me. They were not happy that I couldn't decide. And I took more than a minute to make an order for my coffee. And the one guy slammed his money down because I guess he was a regular. And the woman had given him the coffee very quickly, and he slammed his money down on the table, grabbed his coffee, and walked out. So, you know, they were very direct with me, like, hurry it up, man, move it or lose it. And so I found that to be very interesting. But, you know, I did change the longer I stayed in New York, because what happened was when I went to that coffee shop after a few weeks and a couple of tourists came in, I was also like, come on, guys, hurry up with your order. And I was becoming a regular, and they knew what my order was, and they would give me my coffee very, very quickly. And that's the great thing about New York, is they don't waste time. And Trump's speaking style is he doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste time on words. He doesn't waste, unless he's trying to entertain. And then you see a bit of change. You see those superlatives come in. So I thought that was a very interesting post on YouTube. It was created by the Washington Post, actually. The full video is on my website. I would recommend it to teachers. I'd recommend it to students as well. Check it out. It's very interesting. She has more clips. She also talks about nonverbal communication that Trump uses, things that are more, that are better to see visually than to talk about on a podcast. So check it out. It is on YouTube, and I hope you enjoyed this little segment, and I hope it'll help you in terms of your English speaking to be direct, to use those three tenses, okay? And think about, as you progress, about the persona, the personality that you are creating around the way you speak. I mean, what type of person do you want to be? Because that's how you are going to speak. All right, so check it out. And it's a really cool segment.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
All right, so it is Canada Day. actually Canada Day weekend. Yesterday officially was July 1st, and that is Canada Day here in beautiful Canada. So happy birthday to Canada. That is, of course, where the James Rice Show is broadcast. And coming up this week on July 4th is the American Independence Day. So those are the two big holidays over here in North America. And because of that, I'm kind of cutting the show a little bit short this week. I know it's not our usual length. Because, you know, I've been kind of holidaying this weekend and enjoying the heat and hot weather. So I apologize, missing a few segments here, but I am a little bit in holiday mode. So I want to thank you guys for tuning into the James Rice Show. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.